There's so many young people all around the world. Why not give them a chance? The youth are the future. The youth are is the now, to be honest. So why not invest in our youth right now and just creating employment opportunities? Hurricane Katrina does not make New Orleans. A lot of people, when you first, the first thing you think of when you say New Orleans is Katrina. If you ask the average person, the normal person next door neighbor in New Orleans about Hurricane Katrina, when the last time they spoke of Katrina, they will probably say about 10 years ago.
I'm John Lewis, and you're listening to 360 Degree City, a podcast where we talk to people who are working to make cities better. Our hope is that after each episode, you'll start to see your own city from a slightly different angle. One of the things we want to do with this podcast is to share stories about people that you may never have heard of, the people who aren't in the spotlight because they're just too busy doing great work in their own community. Today, you're going to meet a group of people that are true role models for making cities better. I had the good fortune of recently talking with the team at Youth Rebuilding New Orleans. These folks just get to work to help people and build community, whether in an immediate crisis, building homes for educators, or developing life skills for young people.
How you doing? My name is Prince Holmes. I'm the executive director at Youth Rebuilding New Orleans.
I'm Maggie Daly. I'm the program manager at Youth Rebuilding New Orleans.
I'm John Coyle. I'm the construction manager.
And I'm Earl James. I'm one of the site supervisors.
Thanks for joining me today, everyone. Prince, can you describe Youth Rebuilding New Orleans?
So we are a youth-led organization started by young people for young people. And basically, we buy blighted properties and sell those homes to educators at a discounted rate. We employ local young people, teaching them basic construction skills, job readiness skills, financial literacy, social justice, public speaking, basically life skills, skills that's not being taught in high schools, which is very important to become successful, to keep those wheels churning through, like, throughout life. So that's why we know in the full aspect. We also do multiple other things like first response of disaster relief, homeowner projects throughout the community. It's all about empowering young people through the home renovation process.
Cool. So one of the things that I thought was interesting on your website, you have developers, nonprofits, do-it-yourselfers, kind of what those folks are about. And then YRNO is, I don't know, maybe a bit of a hybrid. It kind of pulls skills and approaches from each one of those. Can you explain how YRNO is different? Obviously, there's the youth aspect, but, you know, elements of those kinds of approaches, how you pull from those to do what you do.
We're different from a lot of other nonprofits that are in the rebuilding field because we measure our success in the amount of young people that we serve rather than the amount of houses we may build. Of course, completing homes and assisting homeowners with projects is, of course, important to us. I think the biggest, the most important thing for us is that we're able to, you know, work with young people throughout the city and give them skills that they could use to, you know, better their futures. So that makes us a little bit different from other nonprofit rebuilding organizations. Of course, we're different from developers because we're selling these homes at a discounted rate, usually at about 80% of the market value. So really, that's just enough to recoup our costs and keep the business model sustainable. But, you know, unlike developers, we're not buying a blighted house for very cheap, putting money into it, and then inflating the market value of that neighborhood. We try to keep the neighborhoods we're working in affordable for the residents that are already living there, and also for the educators that we bring in to purchase these homes. We like to think of ourselves as a resource for those types of do-it-yourselfers, of course. So we work with a lot of local volunteers and also volunteers from around the country. And we teach our staff basic construction skills. And then our staff, so like Earl, for example, is a site supervisor. And we put him in a leadership role to be in charge of these volunteers that are coming from out of state. And so Earl and our other site supervisors actually train them and impart their knowledge in these basic construction skills so that they can hopefully take it home, work on their own homes, or ideally, you know, give back to their own communities back home.
Okay, very cool. And so the focus on youth, I think I saw in some of your materials that a lot of organizations wouldn't touch youth because of liability issues and all that kind of stuff. How did you deal with that from a, I guess, from a practical perspective?
Basically, we just gave them a chance. We just did it. Like you said, do it yourself. We just did it. As a young person, we often, I would say, look down on not giving a chance. But we, as millennials, like, we have multiple skills. We think outside of the box. We're constantly challenging all issues. So just to advocate for young people, why not just give them a chance? Why put those stipulations in place so that you can't achieve? It's pretty simple. Just do it, like Nike.
We've also seen like massive success working with young people, like in terms of actual skills, and the like quality of the work is pretty high. So it's just allowing people to like reach their potential and rise to the occasion, rather than, you know, placing low expectations on people just because of their age. Like all of us are pretty young and in pretty like intense roles in this organization. So we like have high expectations for ourselves and for everyone that comes through too. So just letting young people succeed.
How many young folks have gone through your program?
It's a tough measurement. Like
in terms of the young people that we hire throughout the year, I think we've for 2017, we hired 35 young people.
In different like lengths of time and program capacities, right, and yeah, intensities. But yeah, paid 35 young people in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The program didn't start until 2011 in terms of like a youth development program. It was mostly like volunteering at first, and then it became more formalized in a partnership with the city of New Orleans. So that's only been operating 7 years, but on average, about 20 to 30
hired youth staff members, and at least 1,000 to 2,000 volunteers over each year for the past 6-7 years.
So if I understand correctly, when you renovate a home, you sell it specifically to teachers. Is that right?
Yeah. So we target teachers, of course. Unfortunately, due to gentrification, some of the areas that we're working in, the price, the value of the homes, the market has skyrocketed. So it's been pretty tough to keep those homes affordable because of gentrification. So we will put it on the market to anyone, but we put it to our teachers to give them an opportunity to purchase. But of course, salaries and things like that come into play, and it's pretty hard to meet that.
Yeah, I think of all the homes we have sold, they've gone to educators, specifically like high school teachers, except for the last home was sold to a local artist / children's book author. So we still consider him an educator in that sense. So it still kind of checks our boxes.
Yeah, so just to help, we kind of broaden the market to first responders, policemen, firefighters, any profession that would, motivate and can causes a positive influence on a young person. That's what we're aiming for. So basically the goal is to put professions in neighborhood that can constantly motivate young people when they wake up in the morning and they see this profession going to work every day. It's all about just build a nurturing environment for young people at the end of the day.
Right. Right. So focus on the give back professions. Could you walk me through the major steps from acquiring a home and then what your process looks like and how long that takes through to a teacher moving in?
Yeah, I'll let John cover the construction part.
Sure. Since this project was started in 2011, we've sold a total of 16 homes to local educators. The properties have been acquired through numerous means. We have our board members are able to assist us with some of the real estate aspects of things. And also the city of New Orleans often has these, I think they're called auctions, where they basically have a cache of blighted properties that you know, after a certain period of time, they they're trying to sell to get the neighborhoods redeveloped. So those two sources have been how we've acquired properties. And then from there, you know, we bring in professional licensed trades when needed and required. So if there's extensive foundation work, we would bring in a professional to get that started. And then, of course, for all the plumbing, electrical, air conditioning and mechanical work, we bring in those licensed professionals. We have partnerships with them. They know we're a nonprofit, so they try to help us out price wise. And then from there, it's me and Earl, the rest of the team, and volunteers, you know, doing everything from the framing, framing, flooring, drywall, tile, painting, insulation, just basically everything that does not require a license. And like I said, we hire our staff, and then our staff trains the volunteers. And start to finish, that process varies. The past 2 years, we've been pretty busy dealing with a lot of like natural disasters. There was a flood in Baton Rouge last August. There was a tornado in New Orleans East last February. And then this summer we had some flooding in mid-city New Orleans due to some pump station failures. So we, I'd like to say our start finish time for completely renovating a house is like 8 months. But of course, as a small organization, we have the luxury of kind of just stopping that and responding to the needs of the community.
Okay. And that's what the first responder work that you mentioned, Prince, hey?
Yeah. Right. Which goes back to the roots of the organization. So, you know, we had the organization was originally started by young people who just wanted to help clean up after Katrina. So we felt like, you know, it was important for us to continue that legacy and just kind of drop everything on our own sites and help out the people who needed it the most.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's, yeah, you guys are awesome. It's really, really amazing work that you guys do. So you mentioned, Hurricane Katrina, and there's been a sequence of natural disasters, and challenges. So how has the city shifted? So obviously there was tons of international attention in 2005, and not so much in the last number of years, but there's sort of continuing challenges. How do you think the city has shifted since 2005, and how have you responded to that?
Well, the city is making great strides, of course. There are multiple nonprofits that are bringing attention toward blight. I definitely think that the city is focusing more on tourism because New Orleans is known for its tourism, of course. But in that same note, these nonprofits are doing a good job bringing needed attention toward locals, so those that blight in these neighborhoods. Right. And like recently, we have dropped down from the top blighted city in America. Now it's Flint, Detroit. Flint, Michigan, I'm sorry. So that's a great step, of course. Unfortunately, there's still a lot of blight, but with the help of other nonprofits, we're making great strides to address that constantly. So other organizations similar to Youth Rebuilding New Orleans, after you, I would say, renovate 1 to 4 homes a year, that's constant strides. And of course, with help of developers, that number goes way up.
Yeah, great. And that's I had a conversation with a friend that works in Detroit in the leadership area, and she was talking about the how folks think about Detroit as an example of you know, all this great new and interesting innovative things are happening, but that's actually in the downtown of Detroit, which is 7 square miles, and then the neighborhoods are in the other 140 square miles. So to kind of keep, like, there is progress, but to keep an eye on, there's lots more to do. So I think that's super important for cities all over. So can you tell me a favorite story you have about the impact that your work has made? Then that could be for one of your youth and the difference that that your program has made, or in a specific community.
Well, I could put Paul in the situation. Well, we actually did a project for a person we know named Mr. Paul we work with, and for him we was making a back balcony, and I felt like that kind of work right there, it just like it helps, you know, because like not only we helping our organization, but we helping other people throughout the city, you know. But I say that was good progress for me, and something I would like to keep doing throughout my, you know, my construction working, you know, throughout working with this construction thing, you know.
Yeah, and just to tap on, piggyback off of Earl, just the work we do for members of the community, it always touches my heart. Like, I love seeing that smile when we get the work completed, because often when homeowners reach out to organizations, they're put on this list, and it seems like their name is never pulled. It may take, I would say, six months to a year for the name to actually be pulled, and then they have to come up with other different stipulations where they have to come up with extra money, where they have to provide documents that they simply just can't find.
Yeah, they have to qualify for something. I think one thing that one example that really impacted me, was actually all you, Prince. When the tornadoes touched down in New Orleans East last winter, Prince sent us out to go help this woman who had called us, and she was just like, the tornado was like one day and we were there the next day, and she was so happy because she had been calling all these other organizations, like Prince said, getting put on a list. But she was like, yeah, I talked to Prince yesterday and he said we'll be there tomorrow. And then, and she was just so, you know, impressed and just like grateful and thankful. And that whole tornado cleanup work was really just really meaningful for me. I moved to New Orleans after Katrina with the intent of, you know, getting involved in that kind of stuff, but I never actually saw the worst of it. So being in a you know, ground zero of a tornado, and just seeing all these people, the New Orleans community is really resilient. That's a word that the city and everyone likes to use a lot, and it was so, it's just so prevalent. Like, everyone, all the neighbors were out there, like bringing meals to each other, bringing food to the volunteers and us, and like everyone was just so thankful, and you know. It was just a great experience.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, just being an organization of integrity. Yeah, just saying that we actually do it and we actually come out and do it, like, that's powerful, and like that's what the organization stands upon. And I guess that separates us from other organizations. No shots or anything, but just try to make it happen. Like, if you need help, provide the help. It should be simple, that simple. Just do it, Nike.
Just do it. Yeah, absolutely. See, your work's obviously grounded in New Orleans, Louisiana. What lessons do you think that other cities and other organizations could take from what you guys are doing? Because I think it's a super interesting model. And any lessons that you would tell people from other cities, North America, around the world?
This model can definitely be replicated all over. Like, we started in response to Hurricane Katrina, so natural disaster. Unfortunately, there's tons of natural disaster all over the place in the last couple of years. I would definitely say move on faith, and you have to trust. So there's so many young people all around the world. Why not give them a chance? The youth are the future. The youth is the now, to be honest. So why not invest in our youth right now and just creating employment opportunities? You come up with crazy and like crazy awesome ideas all the time. Look at Youth Rebuilding New Orleans. We've been standing strong since 2005. So I would say move on faith. First, you have to trust. That's the biggest part. Being able to trust the youth to actually lead the way. And I promise great things will happen from there. It's not going to be an easy journey, of course. You're going to have some hurdles, some setbacks. But what organization doesn't? What business doesn't? don't look for the good. Just make it happen and it will come in boatloads, I promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really... really great point. When I've done teaching in the past or work with youth, certainly not to the level that you guys have, but that's I think a mindset that I certainly have is these folks are a lot more capable than people give them credit for. And if you actually give them, trust them to start and then give them responsibility and let them know they can do it, 100 times out of 100, they're going to deliver. It may not be exactly how you think, but that's also part of it. So I think that's super, super important. Yeah, yeah.
It was to think about it. Like, we was once young as, well, I'm young, but yeah, you was once younger than you were as well. And look at you now. So, like, this journey is steps, of course.
Chris always tells me, like, you know, someone gave you a chance to be in the position you are now. So, really, it's just the same, you know. Give everyone the same opportunities that you would want to reach whatever goals you may have.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. Is there anything else that you want to tell the world? Hopefully we have folks listening all over the place, about your city or about the work you do. Anything else that I haven't asked you about?
Should we get the interns?
Yeah, let's bring our interns in.
Okay, so we have three high school interns who are working with us. Do you want to introduce yourself?
How you doing? I'm Corey Jordan. I go to Carver. I'm in the 11th grade.
Corey, what's been the best thing about working with YRNO?
The best thing is working together with teammates and meeting new people and like using new things to work with.
And what do you want to, if you could tell people in different corners of the world, what's great about New Orleans, what would you say?
Everything. It's fun. Everything's fun.
Okay, awesome.
I'm Earl James. I'm one of the site supervisors.
Well, I feel that New Orleans is a great city. You know, it's a big city, but it's also small, you know. So a lot of people in New Orleans, we know each other, you know. So, like, it's not hard to be friendly in New Orleans because everybody in New Orleans is friendly, you know. But the best thing about Youth Rebuild is just working together with a team, just like Corey said, you know, just helping people and just seeing the reaction on their face, you know, after all of the progress is done and how happy and excited people be, you know, just to hear Youth Rebuild, you know, like when someone needs help and they could call on Youth Rebuild for like anything like that, that's great. Like, the first call they make is to us, you know, like that puts a smile on my face every time, you know. And that's what I feel like the greatest thing about Youth Rebuild.
Awesome. Amazing. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dexter Rhodes. Working the best part with them is like we get like a free opportunity to get out of school and experience the work as like working with others and speaking in a proper manner. Right now I've been putting up fences. That's the first thing we did when we first came. We put up a fence. That made a lot of progress. That took teamwork because we couldn't just do it by ourselves. It took John and a lot of people. I've been here since I was a little boy. So I tell them it's like it's good to me. Like I don't see nothing wrong with it too much, except for the bad stuff that happens around here. But other than that, it's all the rest of it's great. Like Mardi Gras and the food and like it's a good place to come have a good time. Like, so you just want to get out with a couple friends, you can come here and you can have a good time, eat some good food and listen to some good music, you know, the usual. The usual.
All right, my name's Tommy. Everyone knows me as Tony. I go to Carver. I'm in the 11th grade. What I want to do when I graduate is I'm going to go to the Army. But for right now, every Thursday, I come and work with the youth program, build a house in a 9-wall Prince.
What we're just asking is what's been the best part about working with YRNO?
I guess you can say they gave me better skills, like hands-on skills with tools, like you need to know throughout life as a man and a woman to like help around your house and help other people, like a grandma and father and other stuff like that. It's just like stuff you need to know. That's what they're teaching us. this program is trying to rebuild New Orleans, fill in the spaces, the empty gaps. Like, you know, you got rolling in the night wall, and like, I don't know, like, they used to have this a bridge in the back. I don't know the name of the street, but like, ain't nothing back there. I remember we used to stay back there before Hurricane Katrina came. It was so populated, houses everywhere, kids running around. Now everything looks
empty,
abandoned, like gone. You see how much water somebody got on their house, but you would never see it being rebuilt. They probably moved, went to Florida, somewhere else, but they're trying to bring it back.
I'm Maggie Daly. I'm the program manager at Youth Rebuilding New Orleans. So I've only lived in New Orleans for a little over 2 years, but I came to New Orleans from Chicago, where I was teaching and then working with another nonprofit. So one of the interesting things I think about is going on in New Orleans is there's a lot of like really intentional work on around like improving the city or like making the city, you know, more resilient. That was something that the guys have mentioned, but also like creating avenues for young people. So there's a lot of work with a lot of organizations in the city working on trying to create opportunities, which seems like it sets New Orleans apart from other cities where I've lived. And also like just all of the specific like environmental issues that are going to be a big part of New Orleans' future. The city is like working intentionally, and Youth Rebuilding New Orleans and John specifically is working really intentionally to like think about water on our sites and stuff like that. So I think that sets New Orleans apart, but I also really love the food and the parties and the parades and the fun. And then Youth Rebuilding New Orleans, like, it has a lot. One of the things I value most about Youth Rebuilding New Orleans is like, this is everybody almost. I mean, we're missing maybe, how many people are we missing? Two, three people, but we're small and nimble. And like, if we want to do a project, we're like, okay, let's do this project tomorrow, or let's get this done this afternoon, and we can do it. Like, it's like Prince is saying, like, there's integrity. It's like, if we say we're going to do it, we're going to do it. If we say we're going to work with 50 young people this year, we're probably going to do it.
No, we're going to do it.
Yeah. But like, being able to make those decisions rather than having to go through a million different avenues or a million different people in the organization, and just being able to be, like I said, like sort of nimble, and get things done. I think
flexible.
Yeah, flexible too is really valuable. And I mean, it's not really emphasized very much with many organizations, like how efficient the organization can be with money or time or people. So I feel like we're efficient and flexible, which is cool.
I'm John Coyle. I'm the construction manager. Like I said, I came to New Orleans to do this kind of work, so I'm just grateful that I found an organization that fits it so well. Like I was saying, like, bigger organizations, there's a lot of bureaucracy involved, so they might not be able to just drop everything and go, you know, help the lady next door that needs, you know, whatever. So that's what I think is really great about Youth Rebuilding New Orleans as an organization that makes us different from other organizations. And New Orleans is great. You know, it's my new home. I've lived here for 10 years and I'm planning to stay here. Earl's right. People are friendlier here. You walk down the street and your neighbors say hi to you. Honestly, anyone on the street will say hi. And I don't think you get that kind of Southern hospitality in a lot of other cities around the country. And there's such a like a collective spirit. You know, people really like to get together and celebrate, and it's just a fun place.
New Orleans, of course, the food. If you want, I wouldn't suggest coming here if you you're not trying to gain weight, of course. But on a serious note, New Orleans is just a very resilient city. And what people should know is that Hurricane Katrina does not make New Orleans. A lot of people, when you first, the first thing you think of when you say New Orleans is Katrina. If you ask the average person, the normal person, next door neighbor in New Orleans about Hurricane Katrina, when the last time they spoke of Katrina, they will probably say about 10 years ago. For some reason, the media just make it seem like Katrina, like people are still affected by Katrina. In some cases, they are, but because we are so resilient, like we put that to the past, and we've built on. And for you to build in New Orleans, just being an organization that actually does it. No questions, not too many questions, just get it done. And like that's what I pride the organization on. Well, yeah, let me put this in. Let's plug in. If you guys want to learn more about Youth Rebuild in New Orleans, visit us at yrno.com. We also are social media friendly. So we have Snapchat, YRNO_1. Facebook is Youth Rebuild in New Orleans. Our Instagram is Youth Rebuild in New Orleans with underscores in between each word. Of course, you guys can support. Of course, monetary donations are just coming down to volunteer at YRNO. And we also have merchandise. Please push the mission. Empower as many young people as possible.
What I love about YRNO is how completely committed the team is to helping people in their community today, but that they also keep an eye on big picture, long-term changes like maintaining affordability in a neighborhood and building life skills for young people. As Prince said, they're an organization of integrity. They do what they say they're going to do. And it's an organization that's small, but has a huge heart. And in doing their work, they focus on just making great things happen. And I think that's something we can all take into our own daily lives and our communities. 360 Degree City is created by the team at Intelligent Futures. You can learn more at 360degree.city. We would love it if you wrote a review about the podcast. We'd really love to hear your feedback. I'm John Lewis. Thanks for stopping by.